The following podcast is a production of Institutional Real Estate Incorporated. Before beginning our program, we would like to invite you to sign up for a free trial subscription to one of our publications at irei.com. Whether you are interested in real estate, infrastructure, or real assets in general, IREI has a publication to suit your needs. Select Publications on the main menu to choose a publication. Interested in more than one? Sign up for them all.
This is Mike Consul, your host with Callie Persaud, editor of Institutional Investing and Infrastructure. And as we do every month, we're going to take a look at, in this case, the upcoming issue, the March 2024 issue, spotlighting one of the stories in particular. Callie, welcome back. And what do you got for us?
Good to chat with you again, Mike. I am excited to talk about this story. It's called One Giant Leap. This is our lead feature in the March issue, as you mentioned. It's actually such a good topic for both of our audiences, because I know we talked a bit when I was planning the story for the editorial calendar, and we, you know, the private wealth convergence with private wealth and infrastructure, great topic for both of those. So I'm glad we can discuss here again.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so let me jump right into it. So as you probably also seen, private wealth managers are moving into the infrastructure space, and that's part of a broader shift into the private markets. So this movement kind of began with real estate, which was really the first arena to be actively embraced by individual investors and private wealth investors. And now we're seeing that infrastructure is becoming sort of the next frontier as individual investors recognize that their diversification needs to be broader. So, you know, as we know, infrastructure is a great inflation hedge. That's what one of the things that makes it so attractive in general. And we're seeing that as well with the private wealth space. So writing for our infrastructure newsline, I was seeing headlines come through about private wealth managers launching infrastructure funds. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. So a couple of those actually I'll highlight really quickly. Stepstone Private Wealth launched an evergreen private infrastructure fund. Brookfield Oaktree Wealth Solutions also launched infrastructure income strategy in Europe and Asia. And last month, Makita Investment Group launched an infrastructure interval fund for individual investors. So Joel, our freelance writer on the piece, actually interviewed some of these guys for the story, and talking to them was shedding light on some of the trends driving it as well.
The names that you just mentioned, big names in the industry, that's part of what makes it impressive. You know, Stepstone, Brookfield Oaktree Wealth Solutions, and so on. And two of the sources that Joel talked to have been on the cover of the magazine, of Real Assets Advisor magazine. So familiar faces, familiar names, exciting stuff. And I should say that anytime I talk to the head of an RIA and I say, what do investors ask about when they come in the door? I've heard repeatedly infrastructure. It's just been hard to get access to it in a way that is affordable. But obviously, we have some of these big players really working on it and trying to democratize access to infrastructure. What else did the story identify?
Yeah, no, it's actually interesting you'd bring up the democratize, because Bob Long, the CEO of Stepstone, he was calling it the institutionalization of the democratization. So, yeah, like you said, I think we're going to see a lot more of these funds start to come. The markets are experiencing what David Levy, head of Brookfield, who is also in the article, calls an infrastructure super cycle. And really, this has become an understanding that infrastructure as an asset class isn't going anywhere. In fact, it's, you know, very lucrative. We're seeing so much need to expand, upgrade, and replace the aging infrastructure we have, you know, throughout the world, really. So that right there is going to take trillions of investment dollars. I actually read that there is a $4.5 trillion annual global infrastructure investment need and a $2.5 trillion annual shortfall in investment. So, yeah, I thought it was interesting that in this story, Joel reports that global investors holding $70 trillion in wealth are actually the biggest underserved candidates for private alternative assets. So really closing the funding gap isn't going to come from large corporates and governments. We're going to see, you know, all hands on deck are going to be needed for that.
So with respect to the various, there's so many, I've said this before, so many different categories of infrastructure. Are there any, is there a category or two that investors are especially interested or the product sponsors, the fund managers looking at most firmly?
We're seeing a lot of interest in the energy transition. That's no surprise. That's certainly all over the headlines for infrastructure in general. And then in the story, one source is actually quoted saying infrastructure is easy to sell to retail clients because there are specific themes that you can directly invest in. And for example, infrastructure is one of the ways you can directly participate in the energy transition. So it's really like providing this avenue for private wealth and individual investors to access this that they may have not been able to before. And then there's other things like large fund managers and direct investors are focusing on mega cap opportunities for larger assets like toll roads, airports, utilities. And then it's also mentioned infrastructure 2.0 in next generation kind of sectors, also digitalization investment opportunities. So it's really broad ranging, I'd say, but certainly the energy transition is a big one.
So investors, smart investors and smart investment managers are always looking at maybe the downside or the red flags. What about this particular area of investment? Are there any red flags or any reasons for pause?
Yeah, good question. So, Mike, we're certainly in the early innings of this kind of convergence of private wealth and infrastructure. And we know that infrastructure is a great investment, but it does have some drawbacks for private wealth managers. There are hundreds of institutional infrastructure funds, but there's only a small number that provide direct access for private wealth. So certain types of vehicles we're finding are better positioned to access this. For example, open-end funds is one that was, reported in the article. And actually, I'd like to point out that the March issue separately has a completely different discussion on the outlook for open-end funds. That's by B Finance. And he talks about the advantages and disadvantages of open-end funds versus closed-end funds. And I think it's really worth a read. And it kind of pairs well to this topic a little bit because you can, dig deeper and really dive into kind of those pros and cons. So yeah, it's a great pairing in the magazine. And this is really just a high level overview of the story. There's obviously so much more. And Joel did a great job reporting on it. Like we said earlier, he talked to major players in the industry. I feel like he hit on a lot of really important aspects. And I hope that everybody, enjoys it as much as I enjoyed reading it. So that will be out, March 1st as an ebook on the IREI website.
All right, very well. Callie, as always, thank you for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.